asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
There we are. Perfect. So we are going to look today at the story called The Road to Emmaus. A quick recap for those of you who have not been paying attention. Jesus was crucified, died and buried on Good Friday. And on Easter Day, hallelujah, he rose from the dead. But as Anchor's just told us, you know, this isn't the end of the story. This is part of the story. Mary saw Jesus and Peter and another disciple had heard that Jesus had risen, but didn't see him. And then this story follows straight on from that. And it's quite an amazing story, but I think it's full of mysteries, and it's good and right for us to think about those things, but maybe not to get bogged down in it, and I'm going to explain a little bit more of that as we go through. So for us, it's a week after Easter, but for today's reading, it is still Easter Sunday. These two disciples are walking back home after a roller coaster of a week. They'd been followers of Jesus and expected great things of him. They'd expected him to be the redeemer of all Israel. They'd backed him, and it seemed that they may have backed the wrong horse. They couldn't get their heads round it. After so much promise, it had all fallen apart with the crucifixion of Jesus. And they're wrestling with it. What does it mean? What's happened? And so they're on their way to Emmaus. Well, the first mystery is, where's Emmaus? Nobody is quite sure where Emmaus is. We're told it's 7 miles from Jerusalem, but none of the names of the villages 7 miles from Jerusalem match up with Emmaus. What's going on? So lots of people have scratched their heads trying to work out where he might have been going. And these two are walking and talking on their way to this village which nobody knows where it is. And they're joined by a tall, dark stranger. Well, we're told it's Jesus. But it says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. So this brings us to the second mystery. Verse 16, they were kept from recognizing him. Now, I don't know, has anyone here walked 7 miles? Oh, a few hands. Yes, I know the walking club does it. How long does it take? Well, it reckons average walking speed is 3 to 4 miles an hour. So they were with Jesus probably 2 to 3 hours. 2 to 3 hours. How could they who knew Jesus spend that amount of time with him and not recognizing him? To me, it seems as strange as not recognizing the bear in this next clip.
Fire to make my dream come true. Now give me the secret, man cub. Come on, clue me what you do. Give me the power of man's red flower so I can be like you.
Any excuse for a bit of Jungle Book. But, and I love Baloo. If you ever play the game, which Jungle Book character would you be? I would be Baloo. Full of brains and brawn, and I got a big butt. So, but there, Baloo had such a thin disguise, didn't he? A coconut and a grass skirt, and yet the monkeys didn't recognise him until it falls off. Was it like this with Jesus on the road to Emmaus? Was he in disguise? Did he look different? Did he sound different? Was the appearance of his risen body changed in some way? It's a mystery. We simply do not know. But I should say that we're not told that they didn't recognize him, but that they were kept from recognizing him. And that leads us to yet another mystery. This passage is full of them. Why did Jesus hide his identity from them? And why did he go to those two, travelling on that dusty road? We can speculate all we want, but we can't actually know. Well, what do we know? Well, we know that these two were actually quite brave. Because here they were on the very day, well, 2 days after Jesus had been crucified, on the very day that we were told that he was resurrected, but they still didn't understand. And here they are telling a stranger who could have been anybody about Jesus. They talk, and the stranger, who's Jesus, listens. And I wonder if this is the ultimate in mansplaining, telling Jesus what they'd expected Jesus to do. But then, wonderfully, in the most exclusive of sermons, Jesus, who they still don't know is Jesus, basically calls them idiots, and then goes on to explain the fulfillment of the Old Testament was through his dying and resurrection. Who would have loved to hear that sermon? Who would have loved to hear Jesus explain what it was that the Old Testament pointed to? And it says, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. Now, I'm also baffled why it wasn't written down. You know, Jesus gives this wonderful explanation, and why wasn't it written down? You sometimes feel it might have been easier for us to understand what's going on if we had it directly from Jesus. But maybe we actually have a clue as to what he did say. I think in Acts 7, when Stephen is in front of the Sanhedrin, he explains from Moses and through the scriptures and the prophets how God had tried to break through and redeem Israel time and time again. And they'd rejected him and despised him. And it led ultimately to Jesus' death. Maybe that is similar to what Jesus said. Maybe it was repeated by these two and then passed on and it became part of what they believed. So they travel for 7 miles. And at the end of the journey, Jesus makes as if he's going to carry on. He's going to go further. He's spent his time with these disciples. But however bruised they are, however broken they are, however hurt they are inside, hospitality kicks in. A lone traveller at dark is not good. We've heard of the Good Samaritan and how he was mugged. A lone traveller would be at grave risk. And they say, come, come in with us. Share what little we have. And so he goes in the house. And when he was at the table with him, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. That simple act, breaking bread and giving it to them, meant that their eyes were opened. They could truly see who Jesus was. And there's other stories where God, through the Old Testament, made people's eyes closed or opened people's eyes. We remember the story of Balaam with the angel, where he's trying to gee his donkey along and it won't go and it keeps turning away and he can't understand why. And then God opens his eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord in front of him, so he bowed low and fell face down. And then with Elisha, they're surrounded by chariots and horses. They're really fearful in the city. And they say, and the prophet Elisha says, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And he prayed, open their eyes, Lord, so that they may see. And he opened his servant's eyes and looked, and the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire. We know God has that power to close our eyes and to open our eyes. But then we come to the very last mystery of this very short passage. Where did he go? Where did he go? How did he go? Again, we just don't know. It's a mystery to us. And then they realized that as he taught, their hearts had been burning within them with the words he said. And we've just heard that it's nearly evening. It's late. But this was too important for them. So although it was late, they dashed back to Jerusalem to tell the good news that they knew Jesus was alive. They'd met with him, joining with the voices of Mary and the apostles in saying that Jesus was alive. What a story. What are we to make of it, though? What are we to make of it? We've got all these mysteries, all these things that we can't understand. Have you ever played peekaboo? It's a source of endless entertainment for young children. They think when they can't see you, then either you're not there or you can't see them. It takes a while to understand that you are still there and you can see them. And then the game changes. And then you go behind curtains and things like that. And we can be a little bit like that in our Christian faith. Sometimes because we cannot see Jesus, or we cannot see him in our lives, we think he's not there. Or we think that he cannot see us, he does not care for us. We need to learn to truly open our eyes. The other challenge we have in our journey of faith is that life tells us to only trust what we know and what we can see. And sometimes we really, really want to know things. We don't really like mystery. We like an explanation. Like Scooby-Doo and the gang, we want it all to end up with a neat reveal at the end that just makes all the sense. But faith doesn't work like that. Sometimes, like these disciples, it may seem that hope is gone, that good has lost and failed, that life is too much, that everything we do goes wrong. And sometimes we get so stuck in the details of the mysteries that we miss the bigger picture. We miss what we do know. We know that Jesus was raised from the dead and he met many people. This is just one of the stories. So we can have confidence in the resurrection. We know that Jesus was raised bodily. He ate and he drank and he broke bread. Physical acts. This gives us hope for our future resurrection. He wasn't a ghost or a spirit. We know that the whole of the Old Testament points towards the reason Jesus died and that he rose. It wasn't a random act or a mistake, but an intentional sacrifice to redeem us from death itself. Not redeeming Israel, this was a bigger story than that altogether. It's redeeming us from death throughout all of time. And because of that, we know we can see Jesus in the scriptures. And we know Jesus. It's not simply a quest for knowledge, but a quest for knowing the person of Jesus. It's not what we think, it's what goes on in our hearts. Our hearts burn within us. And we can meet Jesus in the simple acts. We may not understand, we may be confused, but in the simple acts like the breaking of bread, we can meet him. We don't have to know everything. We can meet him in those fragile and broken places. And the last thing I think we can take from this is Jesus wants to journey with each one of us on our Emmaus road. We might think we're lonely. We might think we're isolated. We might think nobody else is going in my direction. Nobody else understands my journey. But Jesus understands our journey. Jesus travels with the few as well as the many. Jesus travels on those lowly, dusty roads. Jesus journeys with us all, however rough our journey is. So maybe this week we can seek Jesus in the scriptures and in the simple acts in our lives. Maybe we can pray that our hearts will burn and our eyes will be opened to him. Maybe we can understand that he wants each of us to journey with him, and he wants each of us to live for him, to tell of the good news that we know to others as we journey. That's not to say we're perfect. I'm sure those two disciples on the road to Emmaus were not perfect, but they met Jesus, they knew Jesus, and then they went to tell others of Jesus. Amen.